what two is not based in here? The month into the bad two.
And that just shows that maybe two buildings and the rest would be corroborate kinds of things there, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure, here was the, oh, when I was there, that's what there was. There was this, wooden buildings right here. And then over there was that church and the grass roof. And over this way was the gravel, there they are right there.
Did Schroeder get, at two then from Dirk's?
Oh, well, then, when old man Dirk's retired and went to San Francisco, I know he was in San Francisco in 1915, because I saw him there in 1915. He was 96 years old then.
Yeah.
1915. And he turned that too over to his son-in-law, Somerville.
Oh, okay.
Somerville. And of course, that too was going downhill then, and Seattle hunting was over and all that. And all they had was a few blue foxes on that too, and they really cleaned them out. So when Schroeder bought that too, when he bought that too from Somerville, he, well, he got the trading post of that too. And Shemya was loaded with blue foxes, and so was other island there, L8.
Uh-huh.
And then they had Agatou?
No.
The Schroeder stopped at Agatou for the Atkinatives, or for the Atou natives, and he also restocked that too. And you know, and he gave him credit for a few years. Well, he had to.
To get a start, I suppose.
Well,
yeah.
You know, he was after all out there to trade and make money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he couldn't make any money if the people had no money.
Right.
And no way to make money.
Mm-hmm.
So he stocked Agatou for him. And he restocked Atou. Atou was clean.
Mm.
Yeah, they had needed the money so bad that they overtrapped it.
Mm-hmm.
That's in Somerville's time.
Yeah, okay.
And the most of the living they made was the women making expensive baskets. Yeah, and those were nice baskets, you know, they were well, when a trader will pay $25 for a basket, that basket is worth $100 or more.
Yeah.
And no Schroeder, he paid as $50 for baskets, because he could, he knew where he could sell them for $200 and so forth.
But he generally gave good prices.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the traders before, you know, here they'd give them maybe $3-4 for an expensive basket. They were expensive because they were awful fine. I don't know how they, what kind of grass, because there's a, that too was supposed to have a different grass. I know this Levine's wife from that too, and I don't know, several that too women that lived in Alaska used to get all their grass from that too.
Hmm.
They'd send for it.
Yeah.
And they'd, I don't know whether it was the way they prepared the grass or what, but it was an awful fine work.
Hmm.
You know, it was just like weaving with little threads.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you've seen
I've
them,
seen that.
The
yeah,
real Atou baskets.
Yeah.
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 That was like a piece of cloth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know what that grass thing was, but I know the...
Schroeder left that too a little while before the war then. I mean, he was there until like 39 or...
Yeah, well, Schroeder didn't used to stay there wintertime.
Oh, okay.
No, Dirks did. And Somerville did too. Uh-huh. Somerville
stayed. Dirks didn't stay at Aston? I mean, I think of like, you know, there are Dirks at Aston now.
Well, Dirks at both places.
Okay,
Aston and that too.
Mm.
And, because all his family was in Attica.
Mm.
But he used to stay in that too a lot, and maybe he got to Attica a little later. But then he had Attica and that too both.
Mm.
Applegate had Nikolsky.
Yeah, yeah.
And Brzovi. That's where Applegate
in
Falls Pass.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's where he used to get his sea otters, hunters. Mm-hmm. Well, there's Applegate Cove there.
Yeah, yeah.
And, oh yeah, I forgot to see. Was it 4 months? You know, they had an outpost on 4 months too.
Oh yeah?
I never went to that one though. That was on, it was here in Applegate Cove.
Hmm.
And, in Applegate Cove. And, I didn't put small outposts. They lost the sergeant. And there had been a lava flow from Mount Kingdom.
Uh-huh.
And, that's what the men there claimed. They may be knocked off.
Which are the four? There are five islands here, okay?
Yeah.
What are the four mountains that you can see?
I don't know. I suppose with these four.
Okay.
I spent one winter on this island. In fact, I had that island. Okay. I put boxes on, but it was a real hungry island.
Mm.
Goss had this. The Unalaska people had this.
Carlisle.
And Sergey Goldie had this.
Herbert.
Yeah. And Chukinadak had red foxes on. I don't think anybody ever had that.
Hmm.
And that's where Applegate started.
Oh,
his blue foxing way back in the early 1900s. Our terrorists lost a lot of sheep. They can hear tidal wave.
Mm.
And probably were there and
wash them off.
Because they used to have the, let's see, where was it now? Yeah, they have the fence across here, right here. Keep the bucks, everything down here.
Mm.
I had some alga for a while. And, one time, I came to Attica, and I had my daughter, and the Kowalski came on this side, I had my daughter here. And he just could not, it stayed rough on this side. I couldn't go back to some alga. So I finally pulled my dory up from here and into that little lake,
uh-huh.
And out here.
Oh, okay.
And I went on that side. It took me all day to haul my dory across.
Yeah,
there.
Man, I bet.
All by myself, you know. And it was not real flat, it was, you know, a little hilly,
mm-hmm.
Sand dunes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks a lot for coming up.
Let's see, where was this, what was it I was looking for here? On Atka?
Well, I don't know, I had mentioned this one picture, you know, we didn't know if it was Atka or Attu. But I mean, it says it's Attu, and Carol Rowland told me that, that one of them had been mislabeled, and it really was Atka instead of Attu.
Well, this was taken in 1890, according to this. And, they were wearing, all the women wore these shawls. I mean, when I was a kid, they wore shawls.
Colorful or not colorful?
Oh, yeah, colorful.
These hats were sure popular. Built hats.
Now in this picture, it's mostly men. There's only two women.
We've got another photo that shows Attu. That's what I'm not sure about. I'd like to compare them. The other one, it's an old photo and it's got written right on it, natives of Attu. And I wanted to, I think it's about the same time period. I just wanted to check it and see if
it's the Alaska Commercial Company. And, well, the AC Company did have all of these places, you know, originally from the Russian company. Then they turned them over, like Applegate got Nikolsky, Dirks had Atka, Attu. And the grandfather, he was at Chinovsky for a while.
Now, was it your grandfather who was married to one of the Shaisnikovs?
That was my grandmother. Of course, I never saw her, but then his second wife was Kudrin. That's the grandmother that I knew. It was step-grandmother. That's the one that my... I had one aunt and two uncles that were my age. That were way younger than the other batch.
They were the your grandfather's children by his second wife.
That well, this one that just died in Santa Rosa, California. Olita. Yeah, she was only about 2 or 3 years older than me. I saw her about maybe 10 years ago. And this, what's her name now? The her daughter is in the. She was in the.
Yeah, I always forget. June Watson.
Yeah, June. No, that. This Olita had quite a big family. And this, well, she was up in the. And the Alu Corporation. And last year she didn't make it, but she's on the thing now, on the, again, on the list. She works in the real estate down there.
Down in California?
Of course, she's a grandmother. She must be. I think she's up in her 60s. Of course, she'd be a cousin of mine, half-cousin, I guess you'd call it. Yeah, I visited them about, maybe 6-8 years ago with Santa Rosa. She was Santa Rosa, it's all of them.
Yeah.
But it's a big family. With grandchildren, great grandchildren, oh, gee, the whole.
When did they all move to California? Like from here?
Well, this aunt, she went to California, say, about the same time I went to the Navy, 1915. Okay. Yeah, she must have been.
Your grandfather died here?
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, he didn't go out, retire to California or anything like Dirks did.
He died here in either latter part of 1909 or early 1910.
Okay.
And I think he was 82 or something like that. He was quite a bit younger than Dirks, I think. I was going to look for an actor now. Here's some of this stuff. Old stuff that.
Lydia found, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Lydia Black, she had some real old stuff. I don't know why she dug it up. Names and everything off Natka. Names from way back.
That's a mistake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be.
It's Sitka. Baranov's castle.
Yeah, the Russians, when they were here, they used sod for their houses.
Yeah.
Same as they did Natka. And that don't, now if all that was here, that'd be remnants of it yet.
Yeah, right, yeah. All that lumber.
Yeah. Well, the Russians used what local material to build. Where there was trees, they used logs. Mm-hmm. Well, like that big one in the big house in Kodiak.
Yeah, yeah.
Now that's built out of logs, but it's covered with wood. On the outside. See, what's left in Sitka, anyhow, of the, besides the church?
There is a,
Baranov's castle ain't there anymore,
no,
huh?
The only thing left, I think, is a, it's a long building, it's about 2 stories high, and it was the priest's house kind of thing. And I guess it was built in the 1840s.
Yeah.
And I was down there about a month ago, and they gave a little tour of the place, and they're restoring it. And man, they've had to jack the whole building up. They had over 200 jacks in the thing to get it up. And the whole front is gone. They're having to put a whole new log front on the, on the building. The Park Service bought it from the church. They said if they realized it was in such bad condition, they probably wouldn't have bought it. But they hope to get it all. The whole roof is off of it, and the roof is jacked up, and there's no front to it. There's a false front. But they said this is 1980. Sometime, I think, in 81 or early 82, they hope to have the building usable. And then they're going to gradually get displays and stuff.
Yeah.
It's a big thing. It's too stories high, with an attic on top of that.
Yeah, and it was kind of a warehouse or what?
It was a house for the priests. Yeah, they had a chapel upstairs and a number of rooms downstairs.
Yeah. Wasn't the original Sitka church built out of logs too?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, the one burnt down.
Yeah, yeah.
But they saved all the furniture, I guess.
As far as I know.
Yeah, the doors.
Most of it, yeah.
The big bronze doors.
They lost the bells. The bells were burned up.
Yeah. You know that chandelier that was in the church?
Here?
No, in the Sitka church. That was supposed to be solid silver.
Oh, yeah?
I remember, Nick Wilshannon, he was from Sitka. He told me the story. He was married to my aunt here, Olga. And was it Morgan or some big millionaire wanted to buy that chandelier one time, but they wouldn't sell it. And it was made out of silver, solid silver. And he offered them to build a new one for him, exactly like that old one, but he wanted that old chandelier for just because it was old Russian artifact, antique.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all he wanted. He wanted to make him a new one out of silver, exactly like that, which he could have done easy, you know. But then that one would be his. It probably had dates and everything on it.
Yeah. Damn.
Well, one of the things Paul Shannon had from his father, who was a Russian, you know, was samovar and icon. And my brother has the icon now in Redmond. It's about that. It's all written in Russian. He took it to the University of Washington, and it was in the early from 1800s painted. You know, those were all hand painted, mm-hmm. old icons.
Yeah.
With a metal silver.
Yeah.
Front, you know, but where the face is and all that was painted in the back. And it was painted by a monk in Siberia. He gave Will Shannon's daughter $150 for it. And then one of the items in that collection was
Censer.
Uh-huh. The priest he swings at and makes a lot of smoke.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, nice smelling smoke. That was solid silver.
Yeah.
I don't know what they did with that. That had a date on it, 1812.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, 1812. I don't know what they'd done with the teapot. But they were all old stuff that these folks brought from Russia with them.
Mm.
Yeah, samovar.
Samovar, yeah.
Yeah, that was Milo. I don't know what they did with that one.
They're really expensive now.
Yeah.
Find them in antique shops.
But that one was a real item, a real article that was...
Had actually been brought to Alaska during the Russian time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess Mrs. Goss had a good collection here at one time. You know, her house burned down.
Oh, okay.
There, it was the other side of where Hope is now. Well, that was her house too.
Mm-hmm.
After the other one burnt, the other one is a little further down. collected all over, you know. She was up here a long time. In fact, I think she was my first school teacher.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I know she taught at ASCA.
Oh, yeah. But it must have been about 1900 when she taught school here. Because I remember she had a boy my age.
Yeah.
Of course, she was not Goss, and she was Goodwin. Goodwin. And she had a boy, Cecil, that was about the same age as me. And she lived in the old schoolhouse, right, you know, the old schoolhouse only had two rooms, one on each end, all the way in the middle. And she had the living place there. And I don't know if I went to school to her, but I know I was down the beach one time with Cecil, and here was somebody had caught a skinny trout and left it on the beach. And we grabbed it, and here we were proud of this fish. So we took it up to his place, and then I wanted half of my fish, half of the fish. Oh, and he wanted it all. And finally, there was a little ivory knife with steel blade. To the ivory leg, a human leg, with a blade in it. I guess it was a paper knife or something. It was on the desk there. And so I told Cecil, well, you could have the whole fish, but could I have this pocket knife? Yeah, sure. I think I had to give it back.
My back, yeah.
Yeah, I saw him, you know, he was 45 years later, and I saw him again. He was working in the customs service in Seattle.
Yeah.
And, it must have been, because I was, I was 48 then, and so was he. He must have been. And, I went from ADAC to Seattle, and I got paid off down there. Oh no, that's when I got through with the Army, and I went to Seattle, and of course they inspected everybody's baggage, and I also didn't have the proper papers, you know. Which I traveled anyhow without papers, on the contrary, everybody knew me.
Yeah, okay.
But otherwise, I've been to Seattle before, you know, and here was this long table that custom officers inspecting people's baggage. And over here to one side was a GI. You had to show him your papers. There not to inspect your baggage or anything, but you had to have this paper.
Yeah.
I didn't have any paper on the contour. I didn't have any going up, or I had the wrong one going up. I looked at this guy, and he arrested me. I had no paper at all. The reason I had no paper was I didn't need any. Everybody in ADAC knew me.
Yeah.
And I came from that too then. And they jumped all over me in that too. I had no paper, but they sent me back to ADAC. And everybody knew me there. The same gang was there. And next they gave me first available transportation, which was tomorrow, right now. There was other guys waiting there for months for first, but me, I got it right now. No paper though. So when I arrived in Seattle, I had no this paper and a traveling permit or whatever it was. saw this just in A. Was you, about 6 months ago, wasn't you here looking at papers and I had the wrong paper and you okayed it? And, which you did. You had to, it was, I was supposed to get the papers going to ADAC. But somebody in office made it out going to Seward. They were different colors, you know. The papers were different colors. So when I had the wrong paper. I was going on this transport going to ADAC. And here the paper said I was going to Seward. It was a pink paper. The ones, the ADAC were white. And, he okayed it, which was okay with me. But then when the same guy pinched me when I come back because I had no paper,
See,
they couldn't give me any paper.
Like a round trip kind of thing.
Not an ADAC, you know. The only reason I got on the ship was they knew me. But not too, they didn't. You know, they didn't know me too good there. But in ADAC, they all knew me. So they didn't even ask me for paper. They just put me on list. I had stateroom even on transport. Stateroom. I was a captain, you know. And when I went to ADAC, I mean, when I went from aptitude to ADAC, come back to ADAC, they couldn't do anything for me too, on account of I didn't have no paper. And that is no traveling permit. How the heck did I, well, I went to that too with a tug. But if I was a passenger on some transport, I would never even got ashore going to have to without this paper, you know. So anyhow, he said, then I cussed at him and I jumped up and down and asked him what authority he had to okay my bum paper 6 months ago. And he got scared. He said, take your suitcase and go, he said. Yes, I was already arrested. He was real fierce. He was happy, you know, to arrest somebody. You go stand over there, wait for me, you know. And when I bawled him out, you know, cussed him and he was, I really, now it's, you know, I really done all my stuff real loud, I howled, you know, and everything ceased at this long table. But they thought there was a, then they, I don't know what they thought when this, you know, this GI told me, he was scared, he got scared, you know, because that's where I had him. He didn't have no business to okay my bum paper.
Was it Cecil Goss working there?
In customs? Yeah, he was a civilian, you know. But they were inspecting baggage off the transport, not the GI baggage, civilians. And of course the GIs that were on the transport, heck, there was trucks and stuff there, and they picked them up, took them right out to
Fort Lewis.
Fort Lewis, I guess. Yeah. But the customs inspectors were there for the civilians.
Yeah.
And they really inspected your bags.
Yeah.
To see that you. I didn't have
anything. Looking for what?
Well, the civilians were stealing things.
Oh, okay.
You know, this there, the trapper,
How does that?
Tamsek. Tamsek, that was out there.
Oh, hi.
Yeah, he was loaded with, I don't know what you wanted all this army material for, rifles and stuff. Yeah, they took it all away from him.
He was out on what island?
No, he was working for the army.
Oh, working for the army, okay.
Yeah. Well, he was a trapper, he used to trap for Bowman, but he didn't know anything about the islands. He was just a trapper, but he was recommended as to be a guide for the Navy in the county he'd been out there. Heck, he didn't know anything. But the Fish and Wildlife or Bureau of Fisheries or whatever recommended him. But that's the only one they knew, you know. They would have been better off if they took some old Atka native for a guide, because they knew everything. Or even me, I knew. The only thing Kamsat knew was, he knew how to walk around on Adak, on land, because he trapped there, and also on Kadiga. But looking at things, you know, they took him on a submarine. Heck, he didn't know he'd go to some island, you know, where he'd never been.
Okay.
Even I wouldn't know the island, you know, even though I've been there, unless I saw some landmarks. And then a lot of these pictures that showed us was taken from there. Well, it looks altogether different than what you know from the water on the boat. I know they called me up one time to, and there was pictures of, well, Sweeper Cove even, taken from there. I didn't know that Kamsat didn't have it. Finally, Jesus showed me a lot of pictures. And finally, here's a picture that nobody would know anything about. It was Shemia. I knew it.
Yeah.
But I recognized right away. This picture was taken low down.
Okay.
Maybe up from a boat. But it was low enough so that it's the same thing that I saw from a boat. The Shemia. That's the only picture I recognized out of a couple hundred they showed me.
Yeah.
And some of them was right in Sweeper Cove.
Yeah.
You know, the testing, you'd see if you, you know, that's when Kamsak fell down, I think. Was that the guest, you know, recognized pictures that wrong. Anyhow, they got rid of him. They gave him to the army that. He was with the Army Tug and Barge Company after that, but he was with the Navy at first.
You made a reconnaissance around on Alaska Island.
Oh, yeah.
That was before the bombing, right?
Yeah.
And that was a mapping?
Oh, yeah.
Were they looking for outpost sites?
No, they were looking for, they were making maps. There was a Colonel Methven, 37th Infantry, and he had a whole bunch of officers with him, making maps of. Different things. They had one, about six of them, all officers, and then three or four privates. And the artist was a private. He had to make pictures, sketches. You know, some places where they camera wouldn't give the detail too good, you know, where the artist could give you every ridge. So he was expert. He had a great big easel. And he'd go there and look at the land over there and take a pencil and, and take a sight and then, oh, gee, he made nice pictures. Yeah, we went all around on Alaska Island and Yucatan, all the way to the Yumat Pass.
If you go out, how long are you going to be out, do you know?
No. I probably won't be gone too long. Cost me $200 a month if I stay out over a month.
That's right. Yeah.
Then take my longevity.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
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 They already took 2 months from last time I was out.
Did they?
Yeah, but that was August and September, which was okay. You know, that was. I was out from May, middle of May, till the middle of July. That's 2 months. So now you can stay 59 days, which is almost 2 months, and only lose 1 month. But if you stay 1 month over the like 61 days, well, that's 2 months.
2 months.
Yeah. Anyhow.
But I thought you were just out 59 days or something.
No, I was out 62 days.
62, oh, I see.
So anyhow, they took away August, no, July and August.
Okay.
Then they took away September and October, too. And I wrote to them, and I got the answer back that now, first of the month, when we get our checks, at longevity, I'll have 3 checks.
Oh, okay.
I'll get September, October, and November.
All right.
All at once, which was okay.
Yeah. Once they made it up.
Well, it was $200 check. It was 150, but they raised it 200. And that 150 just about paid the utilities.
Yeah. Oh, it's going up.
Well, like the last straw I bought, 100 gallons, was $115 and some cents.
Yeah.
Well, that was, and that's only a month's oil.
Mm-hmm.
And winter time might be less than a month.
Yeah. And here our oil isn't as expensive as it is in a lot of places in Alaska.
Well, I remember one time, this was out in not right in Seattle, but out let's see, where was it? Shelley's house.
Oh.
Shelley's. It's out towards the towards Seattle from Snohomish. Before you get to Snohomish. Bertelson is after fast in Snohomish.
Okay.
And they burn oil in Shelley's house. The Walt's house is all electric.
Mm.
And anyhow, at that time they paid more for their oil than we did here.
Oh yeah?
For their heating oil. Maybe a couple cents more, but it was more. More there than at that place than it was up here. The last oil I got was $113, and now that's the time before, and now this last one was 115 in some sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember not too long back when you got 100 gallons for about $50. That ain't too many years back either.
And they sort of figure it's going to keep going up.
Of course, one thing about a diesel car, you know, even if your diesel oil costs same as gas, you only burn half as much.
Yeah, right.
Like my brother's diesel.
You have one of those Volkswagen Rabbits?
Yeah. He got, he tested it one time. He got, let's see, you could get 45 miles easy out of it. Gallon.
Mm-hmm.
And he tested it once when he was out, and he got 50 some miles a gallon.
Yeah. Oh.
Other than that diesel rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
When he got this rabbit, the car that he was using was a good car, 12 miles the gallon, you know.
Yeah.
A big car, and it was Plymouth.
Mm.
Yeah, Plymouth.
Mm. Probably really comfortable.
Oh, yeah, it was a good car. And yeah, before he got to Plymouth, he got, you know, when the Ford came out with, what was the name of that car? Anyhow, it was no good.
Edsel.
No.
Not the Edsel?
No, it was Falcon, I think. It's a good, later on, it was a good car, but you know, when they first put the Falcon out, it was advertised good, you know, but the things fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
He bought one.
Oh, yeah?
He just kept the first thing, the transmission went out on it. Then he got that fixed, something else when he finally got rid of it. And he had a Plymouth before that, no trouble, and then he got another Plymouth. And had it for quite a few years, and it was still good. That Plymouth was a good car. You know, the,
I know we used to have one, my folks did, I remember years ago.
This Plymouth, well, a lot of police forces use the Plymouth.
Oh, yeah?
I think Seattle did. And, you know, the, I don't know, different cities use different cars,
yeah.
But Seattle used the Plymouth because it's good.
Mm.
And my brother got Plymouth again after, because his old one that he had before was real good, and he got this Falcon, and he had it, I don't think he had it 6 months, so he got rid of it. Yeah, the transmission went out in no time, and then he got that fixed. Something else went through. There was something wrong all the time. Ford put it out and didn't test it. You know, just put it on the market right now without testing. I suppose that's what happened, because automobile companies, they usually a new model, they build one and then test it.
Yeah.
Run it for a million miles.
Right, maybe, yeah.
Before they mass produce it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, find out all the little things.
There's bound to be a lot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, haywire with that.
Mm-hmm.